Amen. Well, I must have missed a lot of good things here. Surely you can add to it.
I've got a couple of comments, but Larry, it looks like you have something to say too. Do you want to go first?
Yes, I will go first. Thank you for that invitation, Mike. Mark, when you were talking about in Matthew 22, where Jesus confronts the Sadducees, the Sadducees were worse than the Pharisees. Actually, Pharisees always get the bad rap, but the Sadducees were worse than that. They didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in life after death. And when Jesus says you do always hear because you don't know the scriptures, the only thing that the Sadducees believed in was the first five books of the Bible, the books of Moses. So Jesus, in order to prove that they were wrong, had to take them back to the Torah, right? The first five books of the Bible. And in Exodus chapter 3, he goes on to cite this, that God is the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. And he's saying that God is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. So in essence, he's saying that proves the resurrection. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Larry. Go ahead, Brother Mike.
Okay, I wanted to comment on the scripture that says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And when I hear the word inherit, to me it means something given to you. If you've inherited something, it was given to you. And so I like to put things in layman's terms so that we know how it affects us today in our life. And so what that scripture is saying is, if you don't have the life of God in you, you can't be given the kingdom of God. I mean, that really is just the bald-faced truth right there. You will not be given the kingdom of God if you haven't got the life of God living in you here and now while you're on this earth. And then also, Mark said something about, they're going to ask something of us eventually. Like the mark of the beast, sort of what we're talking about. And when he said that, what came to my mind was in Daniel's time when it was said, when you hear the music, bow down and worship the golden image. And, when they said music, probably they weren't literally talking about physical music, although it's interesting to me that Satan's job in heaven before he fell was he was the music minister. And another thing that kind of stuck out to me is in our English language, we spell music MUSIC. But if you look at the way they spelled it in that scripture, it's MUSICK, like sick. Anyway, and Mark said, we're going to know what it is. Well, eventually, there's going to be something that we're going to have to bow down to and worship this golden image, and we're not going to do it. And it's going to cost us our life, but just like Paul said, I've fought the good fight, I've kept the faith, and I know there's a crown laid up for me in heaven. And then there was one other little thing that I saw for the first time today that's not anything too awfully spiritual, but I thought I'd mention it. And then I've also got a question for Mark. Anyway, what I saw was, we have a famous American author named Samuel Clemens, and he took the pen name Mark Twain. And one of his stories, the ones quite a few of his stories actually were riverboat stories, like Huck Finn. And they used the term Mark Twain to measure the depth of the water. And I always thought, where in the world did that term come from, you know? And when we just read today that Jesus rent the temple from the top to the bottom in twain, and I realized Mark Twain is a measurement from the top of something to the bottom of something, like the river depth. You know, they had to be careful because you could run your boat up on a sandbar and get stuck there. Anyway, I never knew where that Mark Twain came from until today. And then here's my question. You know, the scripture says that we shall neither be male nor female. And then Mark said, in heaven. So Mark, my question to you is, you know, we believe that we're going to live forever on this earth that's going to be turned into a spiritual place. Do you think our bodies on heaven in the end all, I mean, our bodies in the end all on earth are going to be one of these non-female or male bodies? Is that the way you see it?
That's what it sounds like. Let me read the verse again. It says, for in the resurrection, or this is after the resurrection, when we are in the resurrection, they shall neither marry nor are given in marriage, but they are as the angels of God in heaven.
Okay, so if we're going to be as the angels of God in heaven, then I take it in eternity, as we're living forever on this earth, we're going to have a body like an angel, so it won't be male and female, and there won't be marriage and all that kind of thing.
That's what it sounds like, Mike.
Okay, I just was curious how you saw that. I think that's probably right, too, but I just wondering.
Now, the rebuke that Jesus gives them is that we should have known this before reading that verse. He's telling the Sadducees they should have already known this from Scripture. Well, I'm going to have to go back to Scripture and study it a little better. Because he made it quite clear here. It must be not so clear somewhere else.
Yeah, that's the same thought it gave me, as I want to search that out and find out what scripture Jesus was referring to when he said they should have known it.
If that's true by what you said, it should be in one of the first five books of the Bible, because that's what the Sadducees believed.
Well, anyway, he said, you do err, and you don't even know the scripture.
Praise God, brother.
So how are you going to deal with that? You're looking forward to that resurrection? Brother Edie, you have something to share?
Can you hear me?
You're not coming in real good.
Brethren. Let me turn my hearing on.
There, you're better.
I'm better, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I wanted to the suggestion on the scripture that speaks about you should know that we shouldn't, that shouldn't be male and female. It's the in the beginning when God made the man, he made him male and female. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
So in the beginning, Adam and Eve were one individual. And God brought the woman out of the man. So in the beginning, actually, it was Adam. And that is the way the angels are. So that's a little thought in my mind, that in the beginning, he made them male and female. And he named Adam. Praise God.
Yes, it is quite evident, however, from the prophets that there will be people in the natural, male and female, here on the earth, fruitful and multiplying and repopulating the earth during this time.
One little thing that just came from my mind, it came to my mind from hearing Brother Edie, was I thought of the bee. You know, a bee, the worker bee is neither male nor female. And the bee works with the fruit of the flower. You know, he processes the fruit of the flower. And we know that the flowers on the earth spiritually are God's people. And so that's a picture right there of probably how we're going to be, neither male nor female. We're just, because when I hear that, you know, I know and understand that Adam was made male and female, but being made male and female sounds different to me than neither male or female. So I'm not sure if that's the same, you know, if that's the same thing or if that's a different thing. But anyway, I thought of the bees and the flower, you know, and if you question why do you think the flower is the, you know, the Christians of the earth. And I always say that when you crush a flower on the sidewalk, what does it give you? A sweet smell. There's a picture right there of the Christians on the earth.
Praise God, brethren. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. Praise God. Two things I wanted to say. First, to piggyback off what Bro Mike has shared, he mentioned the scripture that says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And then he went on to say that you cannot inherit the kingdom of God unless you have the life of God in you. And I find it interesting that when Jesus appeared to his disciples, he said that, look at me, I am flesh, for a spirit hath not flesh and bone as ye see me have. Seems to me like that body he had wasn't being powered by life in blood, but some other form of life from God was powering that flesh and bone that he had. So that's the first thing. And then the second thing, from Mark, when we're looking at 1 Thessalonians 4, and you began to pick words one after the other, there was a word you missed that, you know, when I was taught this scripture, really sort of sealed the deal for me. And it's the word so. You see, the Paul here describes so many things. He describes we meet the Lord in the air, and then he goes on to say, and so shall we be. If he was referring to air as per stratosphere or some location there, he would have said, and there shall we be. But he said, and so shall we be. So he's describing a state of being and not a destination or a location. So that's just one more word I wanted to add to the list of words. Praise God.
Amen.
You know what? Go ahead, Connie.
I have a question about Genesis 28. Well, 27 is what Brother Edie quoted. And then it goes on to say that God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. What was the earth being replenished with Adam's the first man? What is that replenished with?
What chapter are you in?
Genesis 1.
Oh, you said you got me in chapters 27 and 28.
No, verse 27 and 28.
Chapter 1, verse 27 and 28. Chapter 1. Oh, here we are. Okay, 27 and 28. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Now there's a little number that defines that word here. 28, it means replenish, fill. It means to fill the earth.
Okay. I've been questioning.
That the earth has been decimated, but it means to fill the earth.
Okay. I was having trouble with that replenish word.
You were thinking that something got wiped out and needed to be put back, huh?
Right. And the other comment was that when Lee Strobel, who was an atheist in the beginning, went to pay on for the case for Christ, the thing that they man said to him was if that you could prove that there was no, he thought that if he could prove there was no resurrection, that he could dispel the whole Christian philosophy. So he investigated and investigated, I don't know for how long, but he could not disprove that the resurrection didn't happen. So he couldn't prove that the resurrection never happened. And it changed him and then made him believe. He became a believer. After all the research, he was a journalist, and after all the research he did, he could not prove that the resurrection did not happen. So.
Amen. Well, I didn't have to go through all that. And I was only 10 years old, and I took it by faith.
One thing this meeting is making me feel is, remember when Boaz was going to deal with Ruth and all that, you know, when he was going to take his shoe off and tell that guy, you have the first right to marry this gal, you know, and possess her land. It says, I can't remember the exact words it says, but he brought along a bunch of the elders, basically. And I thought, now there is a good idea. And what this meeting is making me feel like is, you know, as we discuss any issue, one brother sees this, one brother sees that, and somebody says this. And as a whole, we come to understanding. And so we're all so important in God's kingdom. You know, we're like snowflakes. Every one of us is different. And we all see things differently, and we all have a value to each other. And it's just such a good thing, like in these meetings, when each person can bring what they see, and all of a sudden the picture becomes clear to it. I just feel like it's just a wonderful thing in the kingdom of God to have that kind of a, you know, a thing.
Okay, having said that then, Mike, you opened up the door to go back to Matthew 22, verse 29. That seems to be the item of discussion as to what scripture Jesus was referring to. And I don't know, verse 30. Yeah, verse 30. You know, I don't know, we might be rethinking this, or overthinking this, rather. Jesus here might be saying, the way I read it, is gender issue of male and female, but rather the idea of that there's no more need for procreation. In other words, you know, in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage. Okay, but they're like the angels of God in heaven, which again, he points to something that the Sadducees denied, that there were angels. So he again takes them back to showing them where they err in the scripture, not knowing the scriptures. So I don't know. I just see it as making a statement about there's no need to continue to have to procreate.
Larry, that's I'll have to contend with you on that one. There is no need for those of us who have gone through death and resurrection to procreate. But there will be natural people here procreating on this earth. It's quite clear from the prophets. You're familiar with that passage that an old man will die at 100 and he was only a baby?
Yes.
And where is that passage found?
That's in the thousand-year reign, correct?
During the thousand
final
years,
resurrection.
Yeah. Now, we don't have much of a clue about after the 1,000 years. But during this,
I think that's what he's talking about is the in the final, there's not going to be male nor female, not in the 1,000 years.
But there will be. Where's that passage found? What prophet is that?
Isaiah.
11.
Say it again.
Isaiah.
Isaiah what?
Chapter 11, brother.
11?
Yes.
It's in another prophet, too. This is some of it, but this is not the one I'm looking for. This is the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf of the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox, and the sucking child shall play on the hole of an asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt or destroy. Now, that's a picture in the millennium, but it's not the one I'm looking for. Isaiah where? 65:20. Rita found it. All right, let's start in verse 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever for that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. And there shall be no more thence an infant of days. In other words, children are not going to be dying when they're just a few months old, just of days. Nor an old man that hath not filled his days. Okay? He won't be dying when he's 50 years old. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. In other words, if a man only lives to be 100, it's because he was not behaving. Amen? And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit thereof. And they shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. As for the days of the tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. This is all good. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble. That's bring forth means give to birth, have children, bring forth for trouble. For they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them, that's children born. Amen. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. My goodness, isn't that good? You're going to get your healing. You're almost going to pray, and you're going to be thinking about it, and wow, it's going to happen. So, again, the lion eating straw like the ox, and this type of thing. So, yes, this implies natural life going on this earth. And if we're going to be kings and priests of the Lord, who are we going to manifest kings and priesthood to? You see, there will be others that need to know this too, and we'll be teachers of what is the kingdom all about? What is Christ all about? So yes, there will be a class of people who have come through the resurrection and are like the angels, but there will be a class of people coming through in the natural realm as well.
Hello. Hello.
Go ahead, Brother Edie.
I just want to bring in some little perspective again. And the perspective of heaven, I want to just draw like three sections of heaven. Now, we are in a heaven right now. There is a dimension of heaven that we are walking in right now. So heaven is operating now. And then the next level of heaven that we are going to get into is the millennium. In the millennium, there's a manifestation of heaven that will be in the millennium that we don't have now. Now, like you've mentioned, at the beginning of the millennium, those who are in the spirit are going to manifest in the physical, if I got the teaching properly. And then those who are in the natural are going to change. Now, during that realm of 1,000 years, there'll be people living on the earth who will live normal earthly life. But because the devil will have been bound for that 1,000 years, they will not have the privilege or the liberty to submit to the devil. So they will be under, will I say, under encouragement and liberty to follow God. And that in that realm now, those brethren who have changed to become who shall be changed to be like the angels, and those of them who have come back into the earth realm from the spirit will be one. The people that may not need to marry or give in marriage because they are like the angels. The other people who are living on the earth, who are only in the enjoying the privilege of the fact that the devil is not there and they are under command to live a righteous life. Those individuals may still, that is my thought, may still be marrying and giving birth to children. because nobody is dying at that time. Now, at the end of the 1,000 years, if I get the time clock, you know, properly, now the devil is going to be released again for a short while. And he will come and he will tempt those people who have not attained unto God. Now, the people who have already attained the first resurrection cannot be tempted, will not be tempted. But those who enjoy the ministry, which these ones will give, will now have to make a choice at the will of the devil. And then those who make a wrong choice will join the devil and his host against the people of God, and they'll be judged and put in the abyss. Now, within that period of the 1,000 years, the people who believe in Jesus Christ, who turn their souls to God, will also be converted, changed into the position where they are also like the angels. So the situation, according to what I understand, of marrying, giving children, will only occur within that 1,000 years, after which everybody will now be converted to the place where there are neither male nor female. Now, what happens after 1,000 years, I don't know. The scripture doesn't give us anything. So that is my, you know, view, panoramic view on what is going on at that level. That's a summary. Don't know whether I made any sense. Praise God.
I just want to throw one more little thing out, too. If we take having babies and bumping that into the spirit, you know, we can produce children without a physical act. We can birth spiritual children. So I just want to throw that out there.
Yeah, Brother Edie mentioned that we don't know much about what's going to happen after the 1,000 years. We have only a little clue here in the book of Revelation. And it's in chapter 20. Oh, here it is in verse 8. Well, verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went on upon the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. So there is another great battle after the end of the 1,000 years. Gog and Magog, now they're mentioned in Ezekiel 38. My understanding is that Gog is some future antichrist, some future evil prince, Gog, and that he apparently comes from Magog. And my understanding, the literal name of Magog refers probably to the northern region that is probably Russia today. Not 100%, but it sounds pretty much like a definition, some of the names that are given here that really apply to Russia. This is spoken of by in Ezekiel 38, and I think it's after we can take it to be after the 1,000 years, but it doesn't really say it clearly. It says, and the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, and the prince of Meshech, and Tubal, and prophesy against him. Now, this Meshech is Moscow, and Tubal is Tobolsk, which is again in the Russian northern territory. So whether we're talking about the same people or not, or a spiritual people, I'm not sure. And say, thus saith the Lord, I am against thee, O Gog, prince of Meshech and Tubal. Sounds like Mr. Putin, doesn't it? But of course, he won't be the man to be in that position at that time. Anyway, he's talking about other countries here that are going to be involved in that. Now, this could be something happening before the millennium, because it doesn't come right out and say it here. The only thing that comes out and says is that this same area is going to cause trouble in Revelation 20. That Satan is going to use that area again to stir up trouble. So we know there's trouble right now in that region. Much trouble threatening the earth. War going on. Prince of Michel and Tubals. He doesn't want to lay down his armor.
No, Brother Mark, can I hear something?
Go ahead.
Brother Mark, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Now we are looking at the end. We are looking at resurrection, which is coming at the end of time. And can we bring our minds to the present situation? Yesterday you attended a funeral. You told us that you attended a burial. Is that okay? Now, I'm looking at the present day, the day that we are living in as Christians. How do we handle the question of death, sicknesses, and all the tumors we are going through? Because, like I see Brother Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 1, he says, the power of the gospel that we are now preaching is to take away sin from our lives and bring the kingdom of God. It says, Christ has abolished death and has brought in life and immortality. So can we bring that into our present day situation as Christians? We are followers of Christ. Where do we place dying? And because we're talking about resurrection that will come later on, do we still have to live a life that death can still conquer and then wait for a resurrection? Or can we now overcome death and see ourselves as people that are conquered death because of the power of the gospel? Did you hear me?
Yeah, can we overcome death now? Is that the question?
Yes, by the Gospels.
Well, from what I read, we don't overcome death until he comes with to change us. Until we are changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And the only overcoming of death we have is to be in Christ. What did he say at the resurrection of Lazarus? What did he tell Martha?
He said he was the resurrection.
Yes. And didn't he say that if you believe in me, you'll never die? Well, we have no evidence that Martha did not die sometime. She probably died. So what did he mean when he said you will not die? Help me out here, Mike.
Well, I think it was that, you know, like Jesus called regular death sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, that's not real death. So it's like Martha probably didn't die spiritually, you know.
Well, then in Revelation, when he's talking to John, he talks about the second death. The first death and the second death. And if you have part of the first resurrection, the second death will not do you any harm.
Yeah, so the first death is just sleep, but the second death is more of a permanent thing.
The second death puts you in the lake of fire.
Sorry, our time is hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Our time is past, but I just want to say one or two other things.
We can't hear you, Brother Edie. Bad connection, brother. Maybe you can type it on a chat and we can read it.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
That's better.
Okay. So after
you've gone again. You're out.
But Mike was saying we need to look again at our definition of death.
We can't hear Jesus you, brother. Said
you're not connected. Good.
One little thought I had about overcoming death. What about Enoch and Elijah?
Okay, then.
Enoch walked right into heaven, or was pulled into heaven, however it happened. But anyway, I don't think he died. And God came down in a chariot and picked up Elijah. So I'd say he somewhat overcome death. So I think God is showing us that it is possible and it's going to come forth. But as a mass, it's not going to come forth until Christ's return and he really does change us, but I think it's still possible now if you get far enough into God.
Well, yes. I remember Seth saying that in every dispensation of the earth, there was one man that entered in without death.
Yeah, but you see.
In every dispensation.
So that to me, that means it is possible then.
Yeah, I don't see anybody doing it though.
Yes, okay. You can't hear me, so maybe I can't say.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it has happened. Maybe somebody just disappeared and they never knew what happened to him.
Well, I'm with you. I haven't seen anybody either, but you know, I always think of this. How likely are you to accomplish a goal that you don't believe exists? So if we believe it actually would be possible to overcome death, then there may be somebody that's going to do it. But if we don't think it's possible, nobody's ever going to do it.
There you go, Brother Emma. Well, I think the thing, the bottom line is it behooves us to be more and more like Christ. And if that's our goal, we're not going to lose. If that's all I think about, and if that's the only thing I strive for in my life, my only goal is to be in Christ, I'm not going to be a loser, whether I overcome death now or when his parousia comes and we are all changed.
And one last little point on that is, you know, when Jesus tells us we can do something, then we can take that to the bank. And there's a lot of people that don't believe that you can raise the dead. But if Jesus said, go out, raise the dead, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers. If Jesus said, go out and raise the dead, then it's possible to raise the dead, brother. So if Jesus tells us something, we can do it.
And the only reason that you can do it is because he has given you the exousia to do it. You cannot do it on your own authority. You cannot do it because you heard some big television evangelist tell you you can do it. You can't even do it just because you read it in the Bible. But if he gives you the authority to do it, then go out and do it. Now, they went out and did it because he gave them the exousia and the dunamis to do it. Now, when they got back home, they probably didn't have that authority anymore. Their journey was over. So again, I think the key here, if you really, there are people who have raised the dead in our generation. So if you're a young man and you say, everything I do now in my life, I'm going to aim to be as exactly like Christ as any man ever was. You might be able to get to the point where he will give you that authority. But again, you don't have a gift unless he gave you the gift.
Yeah, the way I see it is we can't do that on our own. It has to be the life and power of Christ inside of us that makes it happen.
Amen. Amen. Sonia, it's good to see you again. Are you well? Okay.
You're not in the cornfield anymore, Sonia.
Okay, we can come to a close. Let me ask a question here. Has anybody here been on David Walter's Zoom meeting? You have, Connie. Okay. And Sonia? Yeah, okay. Would you two wait after everybody else says goodbye? I want to ask you some questions because David gave me a call yesterday. And Howard, would you stay on too? He's having some kind of technical trouble, and maybe with the three of us, we can figure out what the problem is. All right, well then let us say goodbye.